Tune in to the Family Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Life. What is real anymore? It's time to pull back the curtains of reality. And explore life in the hologram. We've unlocked our library hidden deep within the Matrix and are ready to take you on a tour of the cosmos. Come in as we discuss everything from spirituality, psychics, healers, ghosts, as well as UFOs, and the unknown. It's time to forget what you think you know and explore life in the hologram.
With the subscribe now link on Rents.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 311, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Scientists in England have succeeded in stabilizing the time-honored substance in garlic that destroys harmful bacteria, viruses, molds, yeast, and fungus. This all-natural microbe killer is called Allicin C, and it's now available to you in 100% vegetarian capsules only on the New Earth page at Rents.com. This powerful broad-spectrum antimicrobial agent is harmless to friendly bacteria and has been concentrated to equal an astonishing 35 cloves of garlic in each vegetarian capsule. Think about it. The antibacterial, antiviral strength of 35 odorless cloves of garlic in just one capsule. Allicin C is so effective it even destroys superbug MRSA in test after test. Allicin C is truly an incredible advance in natural medicine, and with the threats of bacterial and viral diseases and pandemics growing, no home should be without it. Learn more and order Allicin C on the New Earth page at Rents.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy, and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
right, let's jump right in and get going. We have a lot to talk about this hour, as always. And it is it's something I want to impress upon all of you. We understand that a lot of the material we present is kind of dark, kind of negative. But the people who really are trying to learn are the ones that we're trying to provide information to. Those people are the most important people that we have left on this planet. Those who are using discernment, those who are actually thinking, they're proactive about things, they're learning. The problem and the downside with that is there's so much noise and chaos and lies and deceit and disinformation out there, it's not easy to do anymore. So we hope that after doing this for, we're in our fourth year next week, or sooner, maybe Friday, we want you all to understand that as far as we can tell and we can determine, and all the research that Erica has done over the years and I've done, this is the best quality of information that we can provide you. Nothing is in our minds of dubious nature. There may be questions about it, but it's credible in its terms of being examined and explored and researched further. We want you all to do that. And that's one of the things we're about here. The other part of this that makes it really difficult is that the media icons in the alt-news world, people like Peter McCullough, Dr. Peter McCullough, right? Dr. Robert Malone, all these big names, you know who they are. There's a basket full of them. Most all of them would not be as visible as they are unless they were somehow connected, if not co-opted, by the big money powers that are running the planet. I'll keep it real simple like that. Nobody gets into a position of that much visibility unless there's something else going on in the background. I'm not telling you that everyone is a fraud. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that whatever you see these people offering, go slow. Just go slowly. We've seen too many people turn into things that we would never have guessed they were after looking at them in their first go-round. They change. People change their message, which suggests that they're being influenced by certain power brokers, power centers. It's all contrived. It's all watched over. It's controlled. It is cadenced. It is a carnival of information. Some good, some bad. So it's very daunting for the average person to really step into this whole world of COVID, bioweapons, and on, and come away with a real clear-cut understanding of what's being done to them. It's hard, but you can get there. We got there, and if you've been with us for any length of time, we hope that that you're on board with us and about the same level of general awareness. Now, there are some things that we don't talk about because they're scientifically and medically very complicated, and it wouldn't do any good here. But those papers are out there. So just a word of caution to all of us. And we have to watch, too. And we've been tricked a couple times by people who seem to be putting out good information. Then you find out later on that they have flaws. And if you see them appear, and then within a month or two, they have some kind of a supplement superstore, that's kind of a giveaway that there's something going on here. There's money in it for them. And some of these people, like the people behind the wellness company now, there are people there that I will be willing to wager, I can't prove it, are multimillionaires already. There are wellness company ads beginning to pop up all over the place now. That takes time, energy, production costs, etc. So, again, sometimes the biggest and most obvious objects out there are the ones you should be most concerned about, sometimes. All right, I'm going to stop it. I'm running off the rails here, but welcome back, partner. Are you there?
I'm here. Thank
I'm
you,
I'm frustrated.
Jeff.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, that's an understatement. It's tedious at this point. It's so tedious.
I tried. Did I cover it fairly well, the ideas, the concept? Of be careful.
Yeah, and you have to understand that when you enter into the digital space,
right,
you're entering a war zone, literally.
Yep.
And they are misusing, manipulating information to control you. And it's at all angles and all levels.
Constantly. It's a real job. So when you, again, if you're new to this program or new to alt news in general, go slowly. A lot of it is as false and phony and contrived as the mainstream media. It's a treacherous journey.
I was just going to say that. It's probably even more treacherous than the mainstream media, because you only really have, maybe two narratives to contend with.
Right.
You know, the left and the right. Yeah. The Republicans.
Heinz 57 in the alt news world.
Yeah.
Go and go and go with it.
And they know how to tantalize people and mesmerize people and keep them, you know, entranced in whatever narrative, you know, appeals to them. I would recommend any videos, or if you want to read the book by Boone? Yeah, Boone Cutler on fifth generation warfare to understand how the information is being weaponized, literally.
Right. Has been. We're very much like fish in a barrel to the controllers. That's how they look at us. And they are masters at manipulation. False information, subliminal implanting of information. It's all on the table, and it's all being used all the time. So
and it's easy, somewhat easier to do with a society that's become so, in terms of skill, specialized. You know, people are pigeonholed into a certain area that they're extremely good at in many cases, and then in these other areas they're lacking.
Right.
And maybe they don't know they're lacking. So,
well, that's a very good point. Let me elaborate. You've got an expert here on X, Y, and Z, and he knows or she knows very little about A, B, C, and D, and H, J, K, and et cetera. They're specialists, and they're very good. But is their overall breadth and panorama of knowledge and wisdom, which is what's supposed to come from the assimilation of information, is it there? And that's something you have to make your decision on.
Well, and I would say for the audience as well, you know, you may be very comfortable in your field of interest, but when you get outside of that field, it's, you know, you're like a babe in the woods, and they will exploit that. So, it's hard to find a well-rounded person in terms of just, you know, the breadth of knowledge, especially with the younger generation.
I agree. It's actually becoming more difficult out there to make your way through the smoke and haze of the alt news circus. It's just hard.
Yeah.
Not easy. Okay. We have, let's see if they're going to load me up with commercials here. They probably will. Yeah, I'm going to have to go through a bearskin hoodie commercial here. Thank you. This is Rumble. What Rumble is doing now is loading two commercials. Oh, you can opt out after 5 seconds, I guess. But what they're doing is they're loading the two commercials, and the first commercial, you see a freeze frame of the commercial for up to 15 seconds, and then they roll the video of the commercial, and after 5 seconds, you can dump out. You say, oh, boy, I'm out. And then there's another commercial right behind it. They're not using the freeze frame entry, but it's there. All right, so here's Amazing Polly, and we kind of tip our hats to her. She's a terrific researcher, and she has wisdom. That's another nice thing, not just a box full of facts and data. It's to synthesize facts and data produces wisdom, supposedly. But she's done a really good video here. Phony COVID dissidents. Beware of the dream team narrative police. And that's a very good, very accurate and apropos title. What do you want to say? I want to play a little of this. It's a good one.
This is a 36-minute video in its entirety, and it's all good. So if you have the time to listen to all of it, I would recommend it. But she really just nails it, the way they're playing the game.
It's under our names and guests. You'll find it there, the Amazing Polly
video. And, you know,
video.
It answers a lot of questions. questions. You know, why were certain people floated out there from the beginning? And, you know, there were certain figures in on YouTube that were allowed to, it just seemed like every time you went there, there they were, you know, with the latest news on the COVID pandemic.
Just never forget, that doesn't just happen.
No,
this is
it
all
just happen.
Carefully choreographed every step of the way. Now, there was a program that I happened to see. We saw it, and it was narrated or hosted by Brett Weinstein. And I didn't know. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I didn't know Brett Weinstein from anybody. And I think you sent me the link. I'm not sure. But on that program, Brett's two guests were Dr. Robert Malone and Stevie Kirsch. So that was pretty much their debut, and they happened to be on the same platform. And from then on, I said to myself, these guys are going to be players. And they were.
Yeah.
Big time. Now,
but
Brett
what happened
Wein-
before that, interestingly,
right.
is the Wiseman, Drew Wiseman, and Catalin Carrico, and then Derek Rossi was also out there at the before these vaccines were rolled out. These were all individuals that were high-profile, mid-plandemic. They were going to save the world with their technology. And then after the vaccines rolled out, they, you know, kind of faded into the background. And then a month or two goes by, and here comes Robert Malone claiming that he's the inventor of this technology. And what happened to these other characters?
Oh, it's crazy. So, and I always watch what I see out there. People send me things. Erica sends me things a lot, and we trade stuff back and forth. I haven't seen much of Weinstein since that program. And I've always thought that sooner or later they're going to elevate this guy in terms of exposure and stature, if that's the right word to use. And sure enough, Brett Weinstein has been elevated. Now he's being cited and booked as a guest here and there as an authority on lots of different things. So not a surprise. It's all manipulated. Nothing happens coincidentally in this world anymore. Very little. All right, here's Amazing Polly, and she's going to talk about the Dream Team narrative police. These are the movers and shakers and big names who are directing mass thought and information.
I'm going to start off by saying it took a lot for me to drag myself in front of the camera today to do this video. So you know it's important. However, I feel a bit uncomfortable about what's about to be said, because I don't want to be some witch finder general. But I've been watching this stuff go down for too long. I started reporting on the truth about what was happening with the so-called pandemic back before they even declared any lockdowns here in North America. And I see something concerning happening right now. So I'm just going to talk about it. I'm going to be talking about Brett Weinstein and Dr. Nurse John Campbell. And I guess other things, other people. Because I believe they are constructing the new set of trusted voices that's going to hog up all the air in the room and in very sneaky and underhanded ways, dispense and disperse the, they're going to tell everybody what to do when the next one comes along. And right now there's a lot of hype out there about the World Economic Forum talking about Disease X, and maybe the WHO, the World Health Organization, talking about Disease X, and right away a whole bunch of trusted voices started repeating this and posting this and talking about this. John Campbell was one of the worst. he completely fear-mongered about, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. First, I have to describe what's been happening. Like, I haven't been making videos, but I have been very active over on X, formerly known as Twitter, the social media site formerly known as Twitter. It's called X now. I've been really active over there, and oddly, a few tweets that I've made in the past month or so have gone, I would say they've gone viral, especially for my account. And I've been gaining followers at a super rapid rate compared to the whole time before the last couple months. Anyway, so I have this feeling, possibly, that I am like one of B.F. Skinner's pigeons that respond to operant conditioning, where they're nudging me, they're using me. Because why are these certain tweets getting so much attention? I think it's because any publicity is good publicity for their new media narrative gatekeepers. And because I've been calling them out, I've been getting a lot of attention. You see how that works? You can't escape being part of the system.
No, she's right. They have us coming and going here. If we see a fraud out there and we start yammering about the fraud and trying to point that out, well, she just said it. It's an almost an old Jewish proverb. There's no such thing as bad publicity. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. So we get used both directions. It's pretty damn clever when you think about it. And the more you think about it, the more you can really begin to see how much control is being exerted over all of this terrain that we're constantly exploring and researching. It is really remarkable.
Oh, that's one of the reasons it took a lot for me to sit down and record this today. Okay, where to start, really? How can I say this? They are building their new trusted voices who will flood the zone when the next round of a fake emergency happens. And I'm hedging a little here because I don't know if it's going to be another pandemic / plandemic like it was last time. It's going to be something, though. And they're using this Disease X narrative out of the World Economic Forum and out of the World Health Organization, and now percolating up through all the people we trusted during COVID. The big names, anyway. So I have to tell you what I see happening. First of all, let's start with Brett Weinstein. Because Brett Weinstein, host of the Dark Horse podcast, it's a very popular podcast. Brett was part of the intellectual dark web when that was still a thing, began in 2018. It included Jordan Peterson, and we know how popular he is. It included Joe Rogan, and he's super popular, right? It included Douglas Murray, and he's been all over everything lately. Ayaan Hirsi Ali, bigger names. Why am I not remembering them all? But suffice to say, almost every single one of them is a superstar in their own right now. And they, some of their big names, like Brett Weinstein, are out there right now talking in weird terms like COVID dissidents. All of a sudden, Brett is all about being a COVID dissident. And he keeps mentioning something called the Dream Team. And maybe this wouldn't be a big problem, except for the fact he is starting to police it like a leader of a movement would do. Not to mention, he has no right to do this because Brett Weinstein was not a COVID dissident. He wore the masks, and fine, you want to wear the mask? Fine. But he shamed people who didn't wear them. Then, when his tweets about shaming people who didn't wear them resurfaced, he deleted those. He deleted those. And more suspicious than anything about him deleting those tweets is that I went to search for screen grabs of his tweet. You know, sometimes people take pictures of tweets and they post them as separate things. They just post them. Certainly some of those should have been available, but on the day that I looked, all those were gone too. So what am I saying here? I'm all over the place, right? I am saying that something is protecting Brett Weinstein, and that something in this case has to be Twitter, because you don't get to disappear your tweets except for off your own timeline. Copies of those, they should still be out there. Anyway, so something's going on, and I have identified many members of this network of cross promotion. I've talked about it before. I've done whole videos about it. That the funding coming from Peter Thiel, coming from David Sachs, coming from Cantor Fitzgerald, coming from Elon Musk into social media has set up a network of people, including the intellectual dark web people, but expanding out to people like Scott Adams, Ian Miles Chong. There's a ton of them. I'll put the graphic on the screen as I'm talking. These people are in a cross-promotion network where they all appear on each other's shows, and they get tons of likes and clicks. And because they get all this cross-promotion from one another, they start to become dependent on one another, on the approval of one another. And there's money involved, don't forget. Because the more often your stuff appears in front of eyeballs, the more revenue sharing you get from X and Rumble. So they have definite incentives to stick together and to not contradict each other, except for when there's a fake fight, because that's another thing they do. They stage fake disputes in between one another, because what does that do? It generates clicks and likes and eyeballs and revenue. Okay, so that is all very important to know as we head into the fourth year past the pandemic and the possibility that they're going to pull another stunt like that. With lockdowns, with grounding planes, with closing businesses, with making people either do masks or social distancing or get jabbed or take some other kind of medication or get digital passports or stick swabs up their nose, whatever it might be. These guys in this little narrative controlling network are going to be the people that a lot of conservatives, but they also have a lot of liberals involved who sometimes call themselves conservatives. So a lot of eyeballs are going to be on these people, and they're going to listen to what these people say. Now, here's the key. These people who were pro-lockdown, pro-mask, advanced the narrative that there was a deadly pandemic circulating, all these people are now extra trusted, because eventually they came around and spoke out against some of these things, especially the vaccines. So Brett Weinstein, that's what he's positioning himself as, some kind of early COVID dissident. And now he's going to be the leader of the voices who are totally sensible about all these things, so that when they pull the next one, people will go, well, see, we can trust Brett. We can trust Brett because he at first bought everything, but he eventually saw the light. Do you see? It's so dangerous. These people are essentially doing the stolen valor thing. When you claim that you fought in a war and you get all the kudos and you get all the medals and you get all the trust from society and all the goodwill that comes from that, but you really didn't ever fight. You just bought a uniform at the Army surplus, and you go to Memorial Day ceremonies and Veterans Day ceremonies, and you're like, I fought, and you didn't. That's what Brett Weinstein is doing. That's what Dr. John Campbell is doing. Dr. Nurse, he is not a doctor. He pushed the vaccines for more than a year when so many true COVID dissidents, so many real doctors and medical professionals and nurses had already been out there risking their jobs, their income, their security, their reputation, and sometimes possibly their lives to bring you the facts. And what did John Campbell and Brett Weinstein and all these intellectual dark web and this entire clique of the new narrative gatekeepers, what did they do with all of those early truth tellers? They ignored them completely, and in some case, they mocked them. I actually saw Brett Weinstein on a podcast the other day, and the guest happened to be Five Times August, a singer-songwriter, and this is nothing against him, okay? He was just there when Brett said this. Brett, in the first 2 minutes of his podcast, started saying,
but the COVID dissidents faced an absolutely unholy world where we were being demonized in very close quarters and very personally, as if we were somehow morally defective and so selfish that we would not go along with, the slightest inconvenience even to save the lives of our family members and, you know, our countrymen. And that was a very ugly period. And
I wanted to puke because he did not do that. And John Campbell, Dr. John Campbell, everybody defends him. They say, well, he just trusted the science, and then finally he saw through it. And so I think he deserves a lot of credit for finally coming around. I totally disagree. It was after the majority of the vaccines had been given out that this guy bothered to look at contradictory evidence. He never once turned over a rock. He just took the press releases from Pfizer, from the British Medical Journal, from the mainstream news. He just took whatever they told him and he reported on it night after night after night, encouraging people to go get the vaccine because he kept telling them how safe and effective they were.
Okay, you can look at the whole video if you just go to guests and look under our names. You'll find it there. Polly's very good. She's a thinker. She's a great researcher. And this is a very important commentary. What she's saying is completely accurate.
Yeah,
about how
I
it's
agree.
Played. Think of who's the greatest, probably the most influential driving force of pushing people to take the injections, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Who's talking about that now?
I know.
Whereas a year ago he was boasting about being the father of this beautiful vaccine, he calls it. A beautiful vaccine. And how I've saved the lives of 100 million Americans. No, in point of fact, it may turn out to be exactly the opposite of that.
Mm.
So these big names that everyone is icons that most people are impressed with are often frauds.
Yeah,
keep that in mind.
Positive.
Just keep it in mind.
Yeah.
What you see
yeah.
is not necessarily what you're getting. It's style over substance, image over factual data and science, and it's dangerous. That's how they do it. They keep everything stirred up in this mass vortex of chaos, and it's very difficult to make your way. So that's the general lesson here, and I think many of you are wise to this. You wouldn't be here listening now if you were fooled by all of this. But they own the whole damned show. They, you know who they are, same group. They own the whole show. They own the actual bioweapon injections through the Pentagon. They own the media. They own the alt media. They own it all. So how are people supposed to construct a reality in which to live and think and do life when they're being conned and deceived every step of the way? It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart to wade into this and try and deal with it. It's tough. All right. Anything you want to add to that? And then we're going to jump ahead.
No, you said it well.
Did you say something?
Yes, I said you said it well.
Oh, thank you. That was so quick.
Yeah.
I had to switch earphones here and I missed it.
Oh.
You never said Erica was slow. All right. So good job, Polly. It's a very difficult and complex morass to try to make your way through. It just is. And that's
well,
the way they
want
it.
Well, and they have legions of you know, trolls, shills.
As many as they want.
We're going to hire people to control the narrative, and they plant them strategically all over these social media platforms.
They're everywhere.
Whether it's X, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Telegram, whether it's...
Yep.
They're all there.
You're going to their movie show. Don't
yeah.
forget. It's not your show. It's their show, and you're watching. And you're interacting, and you're reacting. And that's what they want. And they got it. They know how to do it. They're masters at it. All right. Now we have another thing, and it has to do with sweat, a very popular subject. Okay, so sweat, and there are, I hope, it is there in guests. Let me go there and make sure what we've got to look at here. If you go to guests and look under our names, you'll see colored sweat on clothing reports from the vaxxed. Now, this colored sweat is metallic. The word metallic is supposed to be in there. Colored metallic sweat. Okay? So if you click on that, you're going to see a little text, and then you're going to see some T-shirts, white T-shirts. Okay? All right, go ahead and read that for us. What's it say?
Okay, let me get there.
This is a vaxxed person talking, I believe.
Yeah. Vax-injured person.
Yep.
Hi, all. Aside from profuse sweating and having to change clothes several times a day, does anyone else have clothes that are becoming badly stained from sweat? White shirts I have owned for years are now stained this filthy yellow/gray color. Nothing I've tried removes the stains. I've also used different deodorants, different sunscreens, no deodorant, no sunscreen. It doesn't make a difference. Here are some photos as an example. Shirts I've owned for years, but in the last few months have become so stained that I have to throw them out. Coincidentally, this only began happening to my clothes in the last few months, 2 years post-vax.
Wow. It goes on from there, and the first response is, yes, I've had the exact same issue, yellowish, brownish sweat stains on my clothes. Mostly workout T-shirts and pajamas, which makes sense because I do most of my sweating when I sleep and when I exercise. I don't sleep in sweat. Do you sweat when you sleep? I don't know how common is. No.
Usually when you're, you know, if your body's fighting something or...
Then you might.
Or hormonal issues or...
Right. Well, I have none of those either. All right, that's a joke. Sweat stains on my clothes, mostly workout T-shirts and pajamas, which makes sense because I do most of my sweating when I sleep and when I exercise. I am sweating much more than I did prior to the vax, and I have a very different, strong body odor. It is quite unpleasant. I haven't even mentioned this to any of my doctors, but perhaps I need to do so because it may be a clue that will help us find some solutions. Thank you for mentioning it. And the next one, that's okay. It's crazy how many symptoms there are, no matter how subtle. And in response to that, oh my goodness, I was watching the Healing for the Ages conference this last week, and they touched on that very topic. I think it was on day 6, probably in the Q&A. If I find the answer, I'll let you know, but I remember them talking about where the yellow stains are showing up. Like armpits and chests and women. Another person asked a question about body odor changing post-vax or post-COVID viral infection. I know I've experienced that myself just recently after having contracted COVID again in December. Go ahead.
next person says, I've been noticing I sweat more than I used to, and also I feel stinkier. Magnesium deficiency, maybe? Another one, not to your degree, but for perspective, I moved to Arizona from New York because I used to thrive in the heat, would do a 6-mile runs in 100-plus degree Fahrenheit weather. Now I can't even walk in 85 degrees without sweating profusely and feeling like I'm going to pass out.
And a response to that and this whole string, I'm not sure. Sweating? Probably not. After my stroke vaccine, this person had a stroke after the vax, another one of those. I switched to plant-based, and my 22-year-old complained I smelled funny. We assumed it was due to diet. I still eat a lot of veggies with salmon a couple of days a week, and she said the scent is gone. Not sure exactly what that means. That means she can't smell it anymore, or the body odor scent is gone. Anyway, someone adds to that, it's so strange. Thank goodness the smell has gone now. It's interesting what the people around us notice as well. My mom has alerted me to many changes she has noticed while I've been trapped inside this illness. All right, go ahead.
First one says, you should keep a list of what your mother said. There were things I experienced that were easy to communicate, and then there were weird things, like with my eyes feeling weird. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone mention it here, but I don't want to forget because it must have been related. Someone asked, are you on a diet? This happened to me when I was fasting. When I stopped fasting, the smell stopped. No diets around here.
So what do we make of this? What's going on? What's your take?
Well, going back to March of last year, we covered this. In fact, I sent you the video that we had played a couple minutes of. Do you have that?
Oh, right. Let me pull that up. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll get to that.
So this issue of colored sweat is probably, well, there's two possibilities. Number one, it's this pigment lipofuscin, which is deposits of oxidized fats, usually accompanied by metals. Metals cause the oxidation of fats and collecting in these sweat glands. And, you know, they would usually it's iron, but there can be other metals as well. And these people are having trouble because of their state of inflammation. They're sequestering metals. They're not able to excrete them normally. So they're winding up inside of cells and then causing these oxidation products. And another possibility is the bacteria that's colonizing them, in particular this Karenia bacterium, is known to produce a colored sweat. And I think that's also a likely contributor to this. And also the smells, they can be influenced by the types of bacteria that are now colonizing these people. And did you know that the fragrance of a flower doesn't come from the flower itself, but rather the bacteria that colonize the flower?
Oh, you ruined
yeah.
it all. I didn't know that. I thought
yeah,
it was
no
the
bacteria,
flower.
Yeah, no bacteria, no smell. Yep.
How interesting. Well, okay. All right, here we go. This is from a year ago. We played.
March, I think the date on this was March 24th, and then we might have covered it on March 27th in our program.
Right. All right, here we go.
Ben?
Yeah.
Have you, as a massage therapist, noticed, do you use white sheets?
Oh, yeah. Our sheets are white, and they're disgusting.
Oh, Dr. Gessler.
Within a day.
This is what my mom talks about in the vacation rental industry.
They've turned completely tan, and no one knows why. I mean, I know why, but
I am now like looking at just purchasing tan sheets because the white ones within one wash, they're disgusting.
Jeez.
Yeah. That's what's happening. I talked to another massage therapist and she said that her sheets are turning tan and brown with the vaccinated.
Yeah, I can show you. I should take pictures. Guys. We just purchased brand new sheets last week.
And I need to write an article about this. I got an article.
So Unjected Grandma talks about this. That's my mom, Dr. Gessling. She does vacation rentals. She helps take care of them. And, yeah, the same issue. White sheets are all now have this film, yellowed.
What is, do we know what the film, like, do we know
is
what
it
is?
Is that the spike, you think?
I think it's probably the spike.
The spike shed, actually shedding.
I mean, it's like if it's in your sweat, if it's coming out of your pores, I don't know.
That'd be interesting to send off to like a lab somewhere and get it like analyzed.
Totally.
Like Mike Adams, we need to get with Mike Adams, have his lab get on
it. It does not matter how much bleach.
Yeah, that would be great.
They're gross.
It is kind of funny that of all colors, the spike protein would be yellow, which is like cowardly.
Okay, so I do remember playing this, and it's probably continuous. What comes to my mind is the iron issue, which I you were the first to really make a big deal out of it. Iron is critically important to understanding how to begin to try to do something about this terrible damage from these injections. But is iron a factor in some of the staining of these sheets?
Yeah, it could be. And now, you know, people are noticing that there's a metallic smell also with some of these people.
Right.
But I would not dismiss the bacterial component because this Carinibacterium is in the species of bacteria known as actinomyces, which is a known trigger for chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And that may be one of the things that people are reacting to around the vax. They may be over-colonized with this particular type of bacteria, Carinibacterium. And it's also known to produce a colored sweat.
Okay.
So the bacterial component in this, I think, is not talked about nearly enough.
What's interesting, though, is that bacteria will usually respond to bleach or other harsh measures to try to whiten cottons, but these are not responsive. Whatever's causing
this. Well, they're producing a pigment. You know, you're probably killing the bacteria, no doubt, but they, the pigment is... And they are known to, this particular species of bacteria, live in sweat glands, like in the sebaceous glands. So they seem to be in skin pores that have fat in them.
Mm.
So that would probably make for a more durable stain. You know, they are producing a pigment that makes sense.
Well, these are very durable. I mean, these are professionals, and they can't get their sheets back to being white. And maybe they should start buying brown sheets. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it isn't just, you know, massage therapists, and then it's these vacation rental.
Oh, I couldn't even, no. I'm not on a bet.
And somebody was asking.
Airbnb? No.
Somebody wanting to travel, how to disinfect or how to decontaminate a hotel room where, you know, obviously now vax people have been staying. Yeah. And I don't think you could fully... a small ozone generator and, you know, have it run, leave the room for a bit. That should kill live virus if there's
Will it kill the spike? I don't know. The best way to protect yourself from a hotel room is don't go. Don't stay there.
Because, you know, you've got whatever's in the air, whatever's hanging in the air, whatever has... contaminated the upholstery, the curtains, drapes. They changed the sheets, but you know, these people are sweating. The sweat has gone through the sheets into the mattress below.
They throw them in the same
spread.
Same washers and dryers in the hotel. Same. Right. It's all mixed. Nah.
And then you've got the surfaces. You know, you're still risking it. You know, the spike can't be easily degraded.
No, it's a protein.
It's a protein,
very durable.
And it's a digestive resistant protein.
It's tough.
It'd be pretty hard to, you know, decontaminate a whole room where there have been Vax people staying previously.
Right. Okay, we've got some more here. Smells of metals. Smells of metals. Someone writes, just a question, what makes the vaxxed smell like burning rubber? And a response, I'm genuinely asking. I'm unjabbed, so are my family, but I have one friend who claims to be unjabbed, yet I can smell an overpowering, pungent, burnt rubber smell when I am with them. I'm honestly beginning to wonder if this person is being honest with me. Could it be from this person's partner who is jabbed? I'm very concerned for my friend. And one tag on that one, someone writes, most likely what they were injected with on this side of the earth, they smell like metal flakes, cleaning chemicals, or the worst one smells like decomposing corpses. All right. Go ahead. There's some more.
More comments. I've been smelling the metal flakes odor lately when I pass them on the street. Sometimes they smell like stale, dirty laundry. And a third person says, same here. Rusty metal, poor in chemical softener, and rotten corpse. The worst smell I've never, ever feel. Must mean smell.
Right. No, most of us are not familiar with the smell of rotting corpses, although that can't be said for many other parts of the world where it's not an uncommon smell, like in Gaza or Ukraine.
Yeah.
For example, this planet is in real trouble. All right,
yeah,
and we have one more. Smells of the vaxxed. I've been noticing a certain bitter or musty odor in many buildings. I know bitter is a taste sensation, but I don't know how else to describe it. Maybe also a bit like dead animals. I'm not a moldy smell, or it's not a moldy smell. My first thought is that it's actinomyces. These are bacteria in water-damaged buildings that have a certain smell. It sounds almost like mold, doesn't it? But now I'm wondering if it could be shedding. How would you describe the smell of shedding? And I don't think there's a response to that. That was just a question. So we'll put that out there to all of you, those of you who have smelled it. We had the original smell, which was commonly referred to as dryer sheets that you'd toss in with your clothing to make it smell nicer. But it was an industrial grade smell of dryer sheets. Now we're getting into corpses and other things that are not good. Not good.
Well, again, you've got different species of bacteria that are odoriferous, meaning they can produce a smell. And some of them are pleasant. Others are really, you know, the list is, let's see, we have dirty sneakers, putrid, fecal, fruity.
Outhouse in August, that one?
Yeah, musty basement, acrid, burnt chocolate, fruity or grape-like. Again, dirty sneakers, musty basement, butter or butterscotch. And then you have, you know, the issues of people's deranged metabolisms. You know, they're having liver issues, so they're not, you know, they're not able to process food or detoxify as they should. And a lot of times, you know, you get the sulfur smell coming off them.
Would proteins generate an odor?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
So people thinking it's a spike are not barking up the right tree. These are bacterial things or some kind of chemical exudate from the body. Your body's dumping off something.
There have been people who are familiar with the smell of cancer patients, and in particular, cancer patients who are on chemotherapy, and they've likened some of the smells of the vax to that. You know, you can smell the medication coming out of their pores and just a kind of a sickly metabolism. You know, and intuitively, you know there's something wrong.
It's the reporting of people smelling what they would describe as the vaxxed increasing. Are we getting more reports of that? It's trending upward as far as I could tell. That's true.
Well, and that could be for two different reasons or both. Either there are more vaxxed people who are developing an odor, and there could be more unvaxxed who are becoming hypersensitive to it. You know, when you have high histamine levels, your sense of smell goes way up.
Got it. All right, here's a quickie. We'll just dump this in real fast. Blood clots in the unvaxxed. Okay? That's many of you listening. The unvaxxed. Blood clots in the unvaxxed. This lady writes, I'm not vaxxed, and I have amyloid clots throughout my body. I've had COVID-19. I do have the gene, which makes my body prone to clots, MTHFR gene, or is that a euphemism?
No, that's the gene for methylation. A lot of people have that, you know, impairments in their ability to methylate.
I'm seeing a doctor who only treats vaxxed and long COVID patients. His treatment plan is anticoagulants, blood-thinning meds, and neprinol or natokinase to remove the fibrin. Don't think you don't have clots because you aren't vaxxed. We are shed on every time we are around the vaxxed. If you have a family history of strokes, heart attacks, you should get a thorough screening. And there's a response to that. Go ahead.
I don't know where you are.
Oh, that's all right. I'm in the next group. Just a little bit here. What kind of doctor are you seeing, and what type of tests are being conducted? And we are back to the tests again, the endless line of tests waiting for people. That you know you have amyloid clots. In other words, how did you find out? And it goes on from there a little bit. But the point is, this particular individual, unvaxxed, has clearly amyloid clot problems throughout her body. And how she's going to treat that, I don't know. To me, anticoagulants just don't work against amyloid clots. It's a blood clot, okay, but these are not blood clots. You've all seen them. We have pictures up in the archive on the homepage. You can see them right there. These are white, stringy. They call them calamari, like squid, but they do not break down, not easily.
No, and we've heard Nurse Ann say that a lot of the people coming into her department are they're already on anticoagulants.
Correct.
And they're still forming these clots.
Right. All right. Oh my, it's just a tough thing out there. And the one reader we did earlier, which mentioned that somebody said there are only so many symptoms to go around, and that's true. It's hard when you're dealing with dozens of different injuries. You're getting pretty much often the same kinds of symptomological profiling from these people. It's not a dead giveaway anymore. Usually, if you have a sore throat, you could look in and see if you have strep or staph in your throat. But now it's not easy like that anymore. This thing is so diabolically evil, all of it. And I include the vax and the injections equally in this. This virus is a terrible bioweapon. People just do not want to go there because they were told in the beginning it's just like the light case of the flu. Don't worry. No problem.
Yeah, I don't think it would have taken hold had they not injected people with something that was going to cripple their immune systems. You know, what shouldn't have been a problem is now a serious problem because the virus has been allowed to infiltrate and take hold in the population and adapt, evolve, gain fitness, and probably at some point become completely stealth-adapted so that you don't even know that you when you acquire it.
Right.
And then it goes for your neurology or whatever, wherever it's going to go.
Yeah. All right, we've got to wrap it up. We're running about 5 minutes late here. Thank you all for being with us tonight. We'll be back on Friday, in which we start our fourth year in service to those who want to know this Friday. So hope you'll be back. Great job tonight, as always. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
All right, we'll be right back with another hour coming up next.
A day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3 commercial-free, crystal-clear 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rents.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the Subscribe Now link on Rents.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algae on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Scientists in England have succeeded in stabilizing the time-honored substance in garlic that destroys harmful bacteria, viruses, molds, yeast, and fungus. This all-natural microbe killer is called Allicin C, and it's now available to you in 100% vegetarian capsules only on the New Earth page at Rents.com. This powerful broad-spectrum antimicrobial agent is harmless to friendly bacteria and has been concentrated to equal an astonishing 35 cloves of garlic in each vegetarian capsule. Think about it. The antibacterial, antiviral strength of 35 odorless cloves of garlic in just one capsule. Allicin C is so effective it even destroys superbug MRSA in test after test. Allicin C is truly an incredible advance in natural medicine, and with the threats of bacterial and viral diseases and pandemics growing, no home should be without it. Learn more and order Allicin C on the New Earth page at Rents.com. Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy, and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
All right, welcome back. Michelle Obama, 2024. Michelle Obama, who'd have thunk? Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. More and more talk about this in the last couple of weeks, I've noticed. Someone who's watched it very, very carefully is documentary producer Joel Gilbert, who is one of my all-time favorite journalists in terms of documentary production. Dreams from My Real Father remains the most impressive geopolitical documentary film I've ever seen. And I say that with many years of watching a lot of stuff. So welcome back, Joel. Good to have you on board,
hey,
as always.
Jeff, great to be with you. Great to be back. Thanks for having
Thank
me.
You. My pleasure. When I pulled up Michelle Obama in 2024, I got 34 million results in 0.4 seconds. That's fast. There's a lot of talk about this. What's the chatter like now? And then we'll jump back into the documentary. What are
well,
you hearing?
Well, it's certainly picking up. I came out with this, both a book and a film of the same name, Michelle Obama 2024, Her Real Life Story and Plan for Power. I've been doing a ton of interviews. I've convinced a number of conservative pundits that it's happening. Monica Crowley, Roger Stone came out and made a big statement, Glenn Beck, Megyn Kelly. So the conservative media is kind of getting on board to realize this is a real possibility, and that's caused
yes, it
to
is.
Kind of snowball in the last even few weeks more than ever.
Are we actually playing against ourselves by even talking about this? See what I mean?
Well, I
it works both ways. Yeah.
I get asked about that a lot. I've even been accused of giving Michelle the idea to run for president that she might not have thought of it. But we need to prepare for this. Conservatives need to be ready. The Democrats don't want Joe Biden. He even said when he ran for president, no one believed he. Why was this guy running? He couldn't put two sentences together. Why is he even doing this? And he couldn't believe it that he won one primary and everyone dropped out all of a sudden. And somehow he won the election and from his basement over Trump, the most popular president. So the Democrats now, they realize that he's a disaster. His economic policies, inflation, the border, overseas wars. He's just a total disaster. The young people,
total.
Women, every demographic doesn't want him. The down-ballot Democrat candidates all over the country are afraid that he'll bring down the ticket. So, yeah, I think it's coming, and it's something we have to look at because there is a way to defeat Michelle Obama. She does have vulnerabilities. She's not just this. She is a huge pop culture phenomena, but she has vulnerabilities, and that's what my film and book, by looking at her real-life history, explain to people what she's really all about.
We'll get to that in just a minute, but I do need a lot of people are listening, and they're saying, well, when's Jeff going to ask him about the tranny aspect of this? Joel doesn't spend
ahead.
A lot of time on that. And I know we might as well just put it out there and file it away. You don't spend a lot of time on that. That's really not the issue that is certainly relevant in your work and the way you look at things. So go ahead and take care of that, and we'll move on.
Sure. No, I get asked about that quite a lot. Look, Michelle is female. She's always been female. It was a joke by a comedian a few years back. TMZ asked Joan Rivers, will we ever have a gay president? And her sense of humor, she said, oh, well, we have a gay president. It's Obama, and Michelle's a tranny. Now, obviously, that was a joke. That's her sense of humor. But because she died 2 months later, it started a whole rumor mill online that, oh, well, maybe it was true, and they had her killed. But it's just total silliness. Now, Michelle is a total phony, which I can tell you all about, but it's not that she's transgender. Michelle is female, but she's a total phony, especially when it comes to the black community where she comes from in Chicago.
She's a real pro at that. I mean, she knows the game, and you're right. Her background is not what most people have no idea what her background is. Tell us a
Correct.
Little bit about her really very tawdry and unpleasant background. This could be a real political liability if it comes out, and that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things. First, you have to know that Michelle is a political animal. She comes from a political family. Her father was a politician. He was a precinct captain in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
He had a cushy patronage job, they called it, working at the water department. He was an inspector. That means the Democrat Party machine gave him an easy job. He would show up and say, yeah, everything looks good, and go home. And his job was to get the black community to come out and vote for the white liberal Democrats. He was a precinct captain. So Michelle grew up in this political family. She befriended Santita Jackson, who was Jesse Jackson's daughter, and she kind of grew up in Jesse Jackson's house when Jackson was running for president. So she's always been around politics. She's a better politician than Barack. She's a better speaker. She comes across more authentic. Charles Ogletree was a Harvard law professor who taught both Michelle and Barack in different years. And he said between Michelle and Barack, he thought it would have been Michelle to run for president, not Barack.
Oh, interesting.
She's very political. She married a politician. She said she fell in love with Barack when he was giving a political speech. You know, she kind of married her father. So she's all politics all the time. That's just kind of who she is. Mm-hmm. Now, her biggest vulnerability, ironically, is her terrible relationship with the black community in Chicago. It started as a kid. She didn't have any black friends. Her and her brother refused to study at the school one block from their house to study with other black kids. They went an hour and a half away. Her brother went to a Catholic school, even though they were not Catholic, an expensive private all-white Catholic school. Michelle went to a magnet school. And Michelle writes in her book about getting beat up by the black kids. She was afraid of them. They would call her an Oreo. It's a racial insult. It means you're black on the outside, but you're really white on the inside. Mm-hmm. And they accused her of acting white and talking white. And Michelle writes about getting in a fist fight with girls who called her an Oreo. I got her on tape. She even said she's afraid to go out of her house because she'd get beat up by black people that accused her of being white. Barack even said when he met her, he said she reminded him of his white grandmother. The family was like Leave It to Beaver. You know, that's how distant they were from the black community. So what I go into the film, and not only was Michelle not a member of the black community, but she got her revenge on them for how they treated her as a kid in her professional career. These are two big points of the movie, is I show that she worked for the mayor of Chicago, Richard Daley. She was assistant planning commissioner.
The old man.
What happened is, what?
The old man, old Richard
Daley. Well, this was the son. This was the son.
The son? Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay, so whenever white liberals in Chicago had problems with black people, they couldn't hire a white person to do the dirty work, Michelle took those jobs because she had a chip on her shoulder against the black people who picked on her as a kid.
Yeah, sure.
So
I understand.
There was a project at Cabrini Green, was the projects where about 20,000 blacks lived in these big towers near downtown Chicago. And the Democrat donors, like Tony Rezko, wanted that land to build condos. So they got this idea, let's kick out all these black people. And Michelle was hired to do the dirty work. Michelle helped to kick them out of their homes and told them it's going to be good for them. It's going to be good for you. You don't need to live here. And they knocked down the projects, and they gave the land to Tony Rezko and his buddies to build condos. Then, having proven she could do the dirty work, the University of Chicago Medical Center, the white liberals over there, were having problems with the black Southsiders, were coming and using their emergency room, and a lot of them didn't have good insurance. So Michelle was hired to start something called the Southside Health Collaborative. And her job was, if you were black and showed up for health care, Michelle would kick you out, put you in a white van, and dump you back on the South Side at these crappy clinics in strip malls that I visited in the movie. And she told them, this is going to be good for you. This is better for you. So they couldn't hire a white person to deny access to health care to black people. Michelle took that job and made a ton of money. So Michelle, we find out, exploited the black community for money in her career. And that's why, as a politician, I show you how she spends so much time pretending that she was one of these ordinary black folks, and she suffered discrimination growing up and was held back in life because of her skin color. Total lies, total nonsense, total effort to manipulate the black community to get power. And Michelle is very cynical. She tells a lot of lies about racism in order to trick the minorities into voting for her. So these are some of the themes of what a big phony she is. And it's very detailed. I went to Chicago. I spoke to three of her boyfriends, high school and elementary teachers and principals, her mother, Princeton professor, you name it. So it's a very in-depth documentary and book.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I watched it. All this is laid out, as Joel does so well with his films. It's all in the movie. It's there, and you really should watch it. So actually, the tag Oreo
Yeah.
It's not so big of a stretch as some people might think.
No, I mean, look, Michelle married a biracial man. She went to Harvard and Princeton. She moved to Hyde Park. She wanted to get as far away from black people as she could. She worked at Sidley Austin Law Firm. We found out her best friend in Chicago was none other than Bernadine Dorn of the Weather Underground fame.
Interesting.
She worked with her at Sidley Austin. Michelle and Barack went to their house every week for dinners all the way till he became U.S. Senator. And you can't overstate the amount of influence that these domestic terrorist couple, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, had on the Obamas. Michelle, I even tracked that you might remember in 2008 when she came on the scene and was campaigning for Barack, she gave these very nasty anti-American speeches. You can't buy food in this country. You can't afford your mortgage. Don't get sick in this country. And she kind of went over the top and said one night, well, Barack won a primary, so it's the first time in my life I'm proud of my country. That's how nasty she was. But she got all of that from Bernadine Dorn. It was called The Politics of Fear. Michelle talks about fear a lot, and she got that from Bernadine Dorn. It's a theory from the 1960s that we're all afraid of each other, and all of our policies come from this fear. So I go into how Michelle was influenced by these domestic terrorists.
Interesting. I remember Dorn. Whatever happened to her? She's still around?
She's still around, her and Bill Ayers. Dorn is in her mid-80s now, and Ayers is like late 70s. So they're still there, and they're still pumping out their radical crap from the 60s.
Yeah, they were right in the middle. They were prime machines. They were just nonstop. They were pushing that crap out. I remember. Okay. The black community in this country is said to be shifting more and more to what we call the Republican side of the ledger, conservative side. Where is the black community now? And after what you've said, is the black community wise enough to figure Michelle out as being, I'll just say it for fun, an Oreo? Or are they going to just leave it go? That's me talking, not Joel.
It's a good question. Look, Donald Trump delivered for the black community what the Democrats had been promising for 60 years and never did. He delivered prison reform, school choice, a robust economy. So he certainly impressed them, and that was the biggest threat to the Democrats' stranglehold over the black vote. They need about 90-95% of the black vote to get their people elected. So as soon as Biden got in, they started this program where they're back to trying to trick black voters. Their policy has been, let's appoint black people to every single position we can think of and then try to create the impression that we look like you, as insulting as that is, we look like you, so that means we'll look after you. That's why we have a UN ambassador who's black, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, minority leader, Supreme Court justice, defense secretary, you name it. They do is appoint black people, trying to win over black voters. Now, as you point out, Biden is not a very impressive person. He's had terrible results in the economy. And black voters are moving away from the Democrat Party. That's why I think for them, the Democrats believe that Michelle can shore up the black vote just because she's so popular. And Obama was popular amongst black people, even though nothing really got better for them. So that's the game at play. Now, will they realize that Michelle is an Oreo? I think they need to watch my film. Black voters are very sensitive to the idea of anyone selling them out. And Michelle certainly sold out the black community for big money in Chicago. And if these stories become known, I think it would sink her candidacy. And Donald Trump could do it by simply tweeting, Michelle Obama, are you going to apologize for what you did to the black community in Chicago? That would open up a whole can of worms.
Interesting. I wonder if, well, I would bet that she has seen your film a long time ago. I still wonder how the blacks are going to relate to this if they try to push her out there. I just can't see all of them taking the bait.
I have had feedback from a lot of black film viewers, and typically they say, wow, I knew it. I knew there was something wrong with her. They're like, you know what? This explains everything. It just didn't make sense. Because Michelle's been saying for years, I'm from the south side of Chicago. There's nothing else you need to know about me. Turns out she's not from the south side of Chicago. She's from South Shore, which was an exclusive middle-class community on Lake Michigan. Jesse Jackson has a beautiful big home in South Shore. He never said he was
from
the South Side.
I bet he does.
But Michelle tried to create this idea that, well, I'm just one of these ordinary black folks from the South Side, to trick people into thinking that, you know, I'm one of you. Michelle went to exclusive school. She went to Paris with her French club in high school. I didn't go to Paris.
Didn't she go? Yes. Oh, yes. I know it's in your film. All these are laid out beautifully in the film. This is no arguing with it. It is what it is. So, okay. We have Biden, and I'm not sure how much longer they're going to let this go along. They're going to have to make a change. How that change is made, I don't know. How Michelle Obama will fit into that, some people say, well, you can look for a Michelle Obama, Gavin Newsom ticket. You know, the ultimate, talk about phonies. Newsom has done to California is unspeakably evil, horrible stuff. So that's one side of the issue. I don't know where this is really going to go, how it's going to end up. I do feel, though, and maybe you resonate to this, I think the whole year is essentially already laid out. I think it's already, they know who, the controllers, the elite, the globalists, whatever, they know what's going to happen. They're running the show. I think it's basically a cartoon show, a carnival, a circus, if you will. And they got a lot of things planned for this year. Trump in court now. Think about all that. So Trump's vice presidential pick, and they floated a trial balloon a couple weeks ago, Donald Trump Jr., that Tucker Carlson might be his VP candidate. Well, if Tucker gets in the VP position and Trump is nailed by one of these communist judges for things that he never did, ends up being sentenced, he might not be able to administer if he wins. And then Trump would have to step aside to a degree and allow Tucker to move in to at least take the lead temporarily. This is there are many different scenarios. Go ahead.
Let me comment. Yeah. You got to raise a number of issues there. I think Gavin Newsom is horrible a governor as he is, and as snarky and sleazy as he is. I mean, he's kind of like a young Joe Biden. He'll say anything with a straight face, even though it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he's kind of positioned himself that if Michelle is the nominee, that he would be a logical person as a governor, someone with executive experience, much like Mike Pence was for Trump. Well, here's somebody who has executive experience as a vice president, would be a credible vice presidential person. Now, how this would go down is, I think that Biden is going to be impeached by the House. He's going to have problems with Hunter. He's going to have to probably pardon him. And I think he's going to be simply told by the powers that be, including the Obamas, that he's going to have to say that he decided not to run for health reasons at some point. Now, the way it works is, if a candidate goes through the primaries and has enough delegates to win the nomination and dies or quits, then the delegates become irrelevant, and the Democrat National Committee of 200 people are the ones that choose the nominee. So in that case, of course, they're going to turn to Michelle Obama, who has all the popularity. She's the best-loved Democrat. She can raise $100 million in a week, and she can appeal to nostalgia and say, oh, remember how much you loved the Obama years, and we didn't have any scandals, and, you know, she can do that. Now, what Michelle represents for the people that stuff ballots, and I can tell you here in California, they're sending out 22 million ballots to every single person who's ever registered to vote in the last 10, 20 years, and with instructions to fill it out and dump it in a drop box. Now, that means there's no voter identification, no one knows who filled them out, and there's no way to audit it afterwards. It's completely a mystery. So the problem is that if Biden wins on election night, you know, assisted by these ballot stuffers, no one's going to believe it. You'll say, well, I just don't believe it, and people are going to be pissed and angry. There's going to be a lot of problems.
That's
right. If Michelle runs and wins, you'd say, well, she's so popular, I guess I believe it. You'd kind of believe it. So Michelle brings...
Good point, Joel. You're right.
She
Very
brings
good point.
Plausibility. She brings plausibility to the Democrats winning, whereas Biden has no plausibility.
Well said. All right. Is this, and there's a lot of talk about this, and you know it very well, is this really an O-Biden, is this an Obama third term, an O-Biden administration? He's about a mile away living in a mansion, or was, and I guess he's moved up to Martha's Vineyard or something. But it was said that Susan Rice was a major component in this control and the operation of the so-called Biden regime. Is Obama involved in this, as far as your research shows?
Yeah, in my research, there's just no question. Barack is the first president never to leave Washington, D.C. He bought a house, you know, a mile from the White House. He does have a summer home in Martha's Vineyard, where all the rich white elites live. It shows you who the Obamas identify with. But they bought a home on the beach, which necessarily tells you that they believe climate change is a hoax. Why would they buy a house on the beach? But they do live in Washington, D.C., and about 70% of all of Biden's cabinet and staff are Obama people, including Biden himself. And Susan Rice was a conduit for all the Obama policies. So there's just no question that Obama remains the head of the Democrat Party and the leader of everything going on. So I think it is the third term of Obama. I think even during Trump's time in office, the bureaucracy that Obama had set up, including the Department of Justice, was unleashed against Trump to the Russia hoax and everything else to prevent him from overturning or pursuing all his own policies that would overturn Barack's work. The first day that Biden got into office, he signed about 100 executive orders canceling everything that Trump had done, from the border security to the Iran
deal. He didn't know what he was signing.
Obviously, he was told to sign that stuff. And
there's a big machine here at work. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that Trump either chose not to, couldn't do it for reasons of political time. I don't know. But he didn't remove many, many of the Obama appointees in government. He just let them carry on. That's called the bureaucracy, of course.
Well, he did make a lot of those type of mistakes as a first-time politician where he didn't realize how much these people were against him. He hired people like Chris Wray and Bill Barr. He was good at firing people eventually, but he wasn't very good at hiring people. So certainly the hope is, if he gets in again, that he's learned his lessons and will only hire very strong conservatives that agree that they'll carry out his agenda.
I agree. All right, stand by. Talking with Joel Gilbert here. One of the great political documentary filmmakers. And we'll continue in just a few minutes. Hold on. Lethal attack than it is right now. Commercial factory farm crops and foods are so hopelessly toxic, it's absurd. From carcinogenic herbicides like glyphosate to deadly insecticides and pesticides to the latest mRNA and GMO corrupted crops, fruits, and vegetables, the average American diet will eventually make you sick, guaranteed. In comes BioSuperfood to help save humankind. Each little green capsule is loaded with a supreme blend of organic algaes that provide over 15,000 different nutrients for those fortunate enough to take it. Many of these nutrients don't appear anywhere in the so-called Great American Diet. BioSuperfood comes in veg caps and will also chelate dangerous heavy metals and even radioactivity out of the human body. Take the banner at Rents.com to put this modern miracle of health to work for you. It's just rare that we find people who will stand up and do what Gerald is doing. You don't get invited to things like he gets invited to. His respect level is through the roof. Understand that. And what he stands upon is his work and his integrity, and it's all there in the Trends Journal. It is the most remarkable news magazine I've ever seen. No commercials in it, just knowledge and reality and truth. It's all there. So let's support him. What you get for your money? If you go to a movie, what do you get? An hour and a half and it's gone. The Trends Journal will sit in your home and wait for you until the cows come home. It's there for you. Anyway, I hope you do it. Go to trendsjournal.com. That's trendsjournal.com.
Scientists in England have succeeded in stabilizing the time-honored substance in garlic that destroys harmful bacteria, viruses, molds, yeast, and fungus. This all-natural microbe killer is called Allicin C, and it's now available to you in 100% vegetarian capsules only on the New Earth page at Rents.com. This powerful broad-spectrum antimicrobial agent is harmless to friendly bacteria and has been concentrated to equal an astonishing 35 cloves of garlic in each vegetarian capsule. Think about it. The antibacterial, antiviral strength of 35 odorless cloves of garlic in just one capsule. Allicin C is so effective it even destroys superbug MRSA in test after test. Allicin C is truly an incredible advance in natural medicine. And with the threats of bacterial and viral diseases and pandemics growing, no home should be without it. Learn more and order Allicin C on the New Earth page at Rents.com. Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
Whether you're at the office, walking down the street, in the car, going shopping, in a restaurant, a hospital, church, school, or even a graveyard, or just relaxing at home and trying to get a good night's sleep, you are being exposed to nonstop electromagnetic ionizing radiation. Whether it's from 5G, 4G, or soon 6G, or the microwave oven in the kitchen, or that dangerous smart meter hanging just on the other side of your wall, you are getting hit with potentially deadly radiation. How can we stop it? Well, other than living in a Faraday cage, there's really very little that can be done. In spite of endless claims from all sorts of devices for sale online, only a very few have ever been proven to work. That dilemma has all changed now with the Protect Pro line of products. Their Wi-Fi and radiation harmonizing products are second to none and are the first major scientific advance in personal protection from all forms of ionizing radiation. That's all forms. These attractive and simple Protect Pro discs come in several convenient sizes that begin to protect you immediately. Visit protectpro.net now and be safe. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Joel about Michelle in 2024. The film can be seen online, I guess, Joel, right?
Yeah, you can go to SalemNow.com. It's on Amazon Prime Video, Vimeo, and the DVD and book versions are on Amazon.com as well.
Okay, excellent. All right, so easy to see. Yeah. You'll like this film, everyone. You'll like it. You'll really appreciate the work and the research and the logical way it's presented. It's just perfect. Now, you mentioned...
Thanks.
You're welcome. It's easy to tell the truth. I've never had a problem with that.
Good point.
You mentioned the house in Washington, as I did, a mile away from the White House, where obviously most of the goings-on were coordinated and implemented from that house, that mansion. He's got the Martha's Vineyard place. They also have a big house in Hawaii. I've forgotten where.
I mean, on the beach. On the beach.
That's usual. Okay, that's two. Here's a thing I want you to tell me what your thoughts are. In the Martha's Vineyard residence, not many months ago, Barack's favorite chef, this black guy, allegedly drowned in a paddleboard accident, and the word came out later that the usual Secret Service monitoring wasn't set up or wasn't in actual deployed protocol at that moment or that point in time. Obama disappeared for a couple of days afterward. His first appearance, I don't know if you saw this or not, he had his two middle fingers, I believe on his left hand, taped together and splinted,
like they had been broken, and he had what appeared to be a black eye under his left eye. Now, that smelled to me. There's much more to these stories, and it sounds like a Vince Foster kind of a thing. He would not, Obama, he refused to give a statement to the local police. He said, I have nothing to say. So they dropped it, and this chef is dead and gone. Does that smell to you, that whole thing? It must.
Yeah, I did look into it. The chef's name was Tafari Campbell, and it was kind of weird because in the White House, he was just an assistant chef. It wasn't like he was a chef. He was somebody that just chopped vegetables. Somehow he ends up as a chef for the Obamas, you know, living at their estate.
Yes, yes.
And the weird thing also was that he could swim. There were videos of him on Instagram swimming in a pool, very strong swimmer.
Right. I've seen it.
It was about 6 feet of water just off the, off the beach there. And the weirdest thing was that he was paddleboarding. Now, a paddleboard itself is a giant flotation device. How do you drown next to a giant flotation device? So either he had some serious medical episode, which they still have not talked about or released anything.
You'd think that they'd lay that out, one of the first things they'd say. Well, he was suffering from, he had seizures, whatever. But no, nothing.
To this day, we've never heard a thing. And as you say, Obama showed up with these fingers taped and seemingly with a black eye while golfing.
Yeah.
So it is one of these Clinton-esque things where the information gets shut down, questions don't get answered, and everyone just kind of moves on. So that's about all we know.
That's it. Moving right along now, friends. Nothing to see here. Don't worry about anything.
That's it.
Next up, a quick recount in your mind, if you remember, when Biden allegedly won the election. He supposedly got 83 million votes, which is more votes than any president in history. 83 million, that's what they claim. Go ahead.
Well, the biggest sign of fraud, which people don't point out enough, is that the turnout for a presidential election every 4 years has gone up about 1% or 2% every 4 years.
Each time.
Do you know how much percentage the turnout went up between 2016 and 2020? Do you know that figure? I do.
No, but I have an intuitive guess, but go ahead. I'll tell you.
Well, the turnout was up 20%, which is an impossibility. Okay, so Trump got 68 million votes when he beat Hillary, and he jumped up to 75 million votes. Now,
and lost.
Barack Obama got 63 million, and somehow Biden, who is the most popular man in history of the country, got 81 or 83 million, whatever it was, over 80 million votes in his basement, a very unpopular politician. And an old man that couldn't put two sentences together was insulting black people during the election. So the 20% higher turnout is the biggest sign of fraud among everything else.
It's well said. It's immense. Now, we have, in the last 3 years, approximately 10 million invaders. I call them invaders, illegals, whatever you want to call them, into this country. Now, they're going to be able to vote in a lot of states. No voter ID in California required, nothing. So this is going to be another factor. How are they going to vote? What's your sense of that? They usually go Democrat because that's where the money is for them, and they're all looking for a handout.
Look, it's about the ballots. It's not about who votes. It's about the ballots. They put out all these ballots, and I don't think the illegals actually vote, but they have these very skilled operatives that just go and scoop up ballots, and they fill them out, and they dump them in drop boxes, and there's no way to know who voted.
No.
So that's the name of the game, is they register as many people as they can, and people that haven't voted in 20 or 30 years, somehow they scoop up their mail-in ballots and dump them in drop boxes. And if things aren't going well, like we saw in 2020, if they're losing, they just called off the counting in about six swing states. They said, oh, we're going to stop counting now. We'll take it up tomorrow morning. And when they took it up, Biden got essentially all of the remaining votes to overtake Trump.
Almost 100%. Look, it's obscenely corrupt, obscenely a crime, and the world sees it. Anyone out there is looking at this, they know, if they care. This is talk about transparency. You can see right through this thing. But nothing was done, And the American people allowed this to continue. They accepted that, Biden is the president.
What happened is the media refused to look at it and called anybody Correct. That questioned it crazy or an insurrectionist. The courts were too terrified to look at it. When you took a case to court, and even the Supreme Court got a very good case out of Texas where they were suing for under the constitutional clause that the states like Pennsylvania had violated their constitution, so they had to be set aside. Supreme Court wouldn't even look at it. So the courts are terrified to even look at anything to do with elections. So the Democrats pretty much know that there's no recourse. The media won't talk about it, and the courts won't touch it. So why not cheat?
I think we're going to see, again, this entire year, I think, is already scripted, and it's got all kinds of surprises ahead. Bumps in the road, you name it. It's going to be a wild ride.
Well, you're right, because, look, internationally, it's irresistible for people like the Iranians, the Chinese. It's the last year of Biden's presidency. He's a very old, weak man. Mm-hmm. They think he's running for re-election. It seems like it's just the perfect time to make your move, and that's what we're seeing right now in the Middle East.
You got it. Exactly. The only good thing about Biden is his Corvette. That's a nice Corvette. Beautiful green. If you've ever seen it, he's got a nice car. Anyhow, yeah. I like old cars.
Nice.
But I don't like old presidents. No. The cars, okay.
Biden
we've
doesn't
got
look
a,
good in it.
No, it's begging for Photoshop. Put anybody else in it. We've got a situation here where Michelle 2024 is a distinct possibility. What are the time frames that will have to be adhered to make this change and actually, if this works, put her on the ballot? When does this have to happen? She's obviously going to skip the primary season. We get that. That's not going to happen.
Well, it can happen anytime up to the convention. Michelle can, and the people that put Biden in there know enough about Biden's past, his corruption, that I think they're in a position to tell him, you better, say you're having health problems, otherwise Hunter's going to jail. I mean, there's so many things they can do to influence him. But anywhere between now and the convention, they can make the decision. Don't forget the convention's in Chicago, of all places. They made it in Michelle's hometown.
Too funny.
I think for a homegirl convention, coronation type of thing. And
you may be right.
Michelle,
you may well be right. Remember, everything's planned. They plan these in advance.
I think so. Look, Michelle can fill up stadiums. She can fill up stadiums. She's so popular. I went to this interview she did with Oprah here at the YouTube Theater in Los Angeles last year.
Yeah.
And it was 6,000-seat theater. And I had a ticket. I went 2 hours early thinking I'd just kind of talk to a couple people. 2 hours early, people were lined up for miles even though they had tickets. She's a pop culture phenomenon. She can fill up stadiums. I think she'll try to do what Barack did, is go around the country, give these great speeches about how, you know, we need to change everything and she wants to bring us all back together. So she could make her move May, June, July, and go into the convention having done a big stadium tour. She could wait till the convention, but I think Biden will drop out, and then the Democrat National Committee will have no choice. Michelle's the only one that can, have the star power to win the election and give it that plausibility I mentioned, that when they stuff the ballot boxes, we'd say, well, I guess I believe it because she's so popular.
I think you're probably correct on that. The political primary, Super Tuesday is coming up in March, right? That's not far away, 5 weeks, something like that, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So she'll just skip it. There'll be nothing going on.
Yeah, I don't think she needs to
side.
Go through the primary process.
No,
she could have decided,
no.
But she didn't.
No. So we've got June, July, August, September, October. It's 5 months. It's more than enough campaign time. Probably the shorter the better, frankly. If they're going to ignite this like they may or try to, with this rock star kind of persona, they want to keep it relatively short. They don't want to leave it long form because people have more chances to look at your film and start bringing issues up.
I agree.
Well, they don't want to do that. Very good. Okay, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you about. Oh, what the heck was it? Obama.
Yeah.
What is his future? He's a player. He's deeply involved in running this country right now. Now, this, well, I still maintain it's all planned. What would you see him? Would she appoint him to be a UN ambassador or something like that? Or is he just going to
go? I think he'll just stay behind the scenes. I think he enjoys being behind the scenes. He is right now the leader of the Democrat Party. He does meet with congressmen and all the Democrat figures in in Washington as we speak, and he kind of runs the show pretty much, and Biden kind of does what he's told. I think if Michelle runs and wins, which I think is a possibility, if not enough people see my film, Michelle's going to follow pretty much Barack's agenda. She's never really had an original idea. She just mimics and copies whatever the far-left Democrats are saying.
Right.
And I think, you know, she very much wants to be president. I think the Obamas
You really
are itching
think,
to
okay,
get
now that's a big statement. What do you have on the inside here? You got some connections. Is that really what she's talking about? Is that does that idea really appeal to her? And that's like
She loves politics. I told you earlier how her whole life was politics. Her father was a politician. She marries a politician. She grew up in Jesse Jackson's house when he was running for president. She was a great speaker for Barack. She was giving these incredible speeches to stadiums when he ran for president in 2008.
I remember.
She got so nasty, she had to take a step back, and she said, oh, I just want to be the mom in chief. I hate politics. That was because she was getting so much bad feedback. When she said, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country, when Barack won a primary. So she kind of pretends that she's not interested in politics, and that's a good position for her to reemerge and say, well, kind of like Donald Trump, say, you know, I had a great life, but I just want to help out. But she loves the spotlight. She's written two autobiographies in the last couple of years, just like Barack did. She's been on tour with
Ghostwritten,
but still. She has a voter registration organization called When We All Vote. She got $26 million from George Soros, and she's been running around the country registering people to vote. Everyone, look at her Twitter account. It's all politics. She loves politics. Yeah. It's who she is. So I think she just loves the spotlight, and she loves being in politics.
Well, think about
she's
it.
Never left the spotlight.
Who else do the liberals have to run? She's the obvious odds-on
favorite. No one.
They got nobody.
Nobody.
I agree. This is it's going to be pretty crazy stuff. You have Michelle. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's hoping this will end up in the House of Representatives. You've got Trump maybe running with Tucker. This is going to be a real freak show, I'm telling you, right now.
Well, I would predict, I think and hope that Trump does have some good political instincts. I would look for him to pick somebody who can appeal as a vice president and can appeal to a wider audience and someone that can be his successor, because he's going to be a one-term president. Someone that we know that has the ability to run and win on their own. I'm thinking someone like Sarah Huckabee Sanders from Arkansas.
She's a good one.
She's a female. She's got some kids. Yeah. She's kind of a redneck from the South. She's very sincere. She's a good speaker.
Well, she was press secretary.
And she's someone that we could view as a successor to the Make America Great Again agenda.
Good point. I think you're right on that. So, like I say, this thing has multiple different ways it could possibly unwind here, and we'll see. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I don't know how else to phrase it, but enjoy, kick back, and just watch it and enjoy it, because it really is a show. I do believe that the results are already in the screenplay. I think it's done.
Well, it's hard to believe that the people that put Biden in there and covered up all his family crimes, that they would just let Trump win and punish them. So those people that had the power to cover up for Biden and install him and get him 81 million some odd votes, it's a little hard to believe that they would just say, well, okay, we're going to go away now.
No, here's the deal. If we look back at, and this goes back to George W. Bush, I can't remember who. I think it's been every president since George W. has, when Trump did it, when he was asked about, well, are you going to go after these people or that group or correct this? He said, no, we need to move forward. We have a lot of work to do. I'm not going to go back in that direction. The same thing George W. said. So I don't see that happening, even with Biden, as despicable as he is. I just don't see it. If Trump gets in and he's not in jail or in prison or whatever, I don't see that happening. There's no precedent for it in recent modern U.S. political history. They don't go back and go after the incumbent, the former president.
Well, Trump does have this ethos that he's talked about that he learned from real estate in New York, and he said that he's a counterpuncher. If somebody goes out of their way to do something bad to you, you've got to hit them back twice as hard. He said that. And he said he lives that lifestyle as a New York real estate person. So I think that the Democrats are terrified that if Trump wins, he would do back to them what they did to him, and that's their biggest fear.
It'll be unprecedented in my memory. I hope it happens, but I have nothing to base it on except speculation, and that would be nice if somebody were finally all about getting people in this country to be held accountable for what they've done. It's just not tradition here. It just doesn't happen.
True, it's true. There's no accountability in government. What happened in Afghanistan, nobody got fired.
No.
9/11, nobody got fired for 9/11.
Nothing. Look over your shoulder, friends, and see. Tell me where the accountability is. It's not there.
Europeans are much more sensitive. Like in England, if something goes wrong, automatically the minister gets fired. The prime minister might resign if something went really bad. So the Europeans have a much stronger culture, but not in America. There's no culture of accountability.
It's one of the most lucrative careers you could hope to have.
Yeah.
As soon as you're elected, you're swimming in that money stream, and you're set. You are set. So I concur.
Yeah.
All right. She has been saying a lot of things recently. If you pay attention, you do. Most people may not. But she's been saying a lot of things that are very political lately. Not profoundly headline making, but she's talking the talk already. It's there.
I can give you two examples. She just did a podcast about 2 weeks ago. She told the podcaster, she said, people don't understand that government does everything for us. Government is everything. And then she said, but people don't understand that trickle-down economy doesn't work. Now, this is just straight socialist communist dogma.
You betcha.
Trickle-down doesn't work. That's referring to the free market system. Barack used to say that also. The free market doesn't work. That's capitalism and the free market economy. Government does everything for us. That's a typical socialist statement, whereas in our country, we think the government is there to fulfill things like security and some basic stuff, but not to do everything for us. So Michelle is certainly spouting her socialist dogma.
No, that was a giveaway. If you caught that, I did read that somewhere. It was transcribed, and that was a giveaway to me that she is. I went back. I saw your film 6 months ago. I don't know when it was. It was a while back, but I think you got it.
Yeah, the other big giveaway, she said that she's terrified of what might happen in the next election. That's the latest little giveaway, saying that. Setting it up for her to come in later and say, oh, well, I was just so worried, I felt I had to do this, and I'm doing y'all a big favor.
I don't know how else to read it. I think you're 100% correct. Joel's video is being watched, or has been watched, by a lot of these people. Believe it. They're seeing it, testing it, feeling it for, you know, fit and size. But they do run the show, Joel. That's the other issue. I think the decisions have already been made, frankly.
Could be.
They're going to play it out.
Well, that's why they're going after Trump with all these phony legal cases, because they are very terrified.
Yes, of course.
But I agree with you. They sure are acting like people that don't have a worry in the world of it ever coming back on them. It's as though they have no concerns about ever not being in power.
100% right. All right, let's direct people, again, how to look at your really provocative and expertly presented. It's quite a story, Michelle's story.
Okay,
it's
great.
Yeah.
Well,
tell
again,
them how to look at it.
Yeah, you go to the website. It's MichelleObama24. That's MichelleObama24.com. You can watch the movie trailer, and it'll link you up. You can read about it. It'll link you up to how to watch the movie online, which is at salemnow.com. You can live stream it, Amazon Prime Video or Vimeo to live stream. And then you can buy the DVD and the book version, which is very in-depth. Those are on Amazon.com.
What's your next project, Joel?
Well, I tend to work on big investments.
What has just been said of me is true. I offer no argument nor dispute the simple facts, but they hardly begin to cover the scope of my true crimes. Honor requires more than admission. So I offer a full confession and the whole truth. For far too long, I failed to recognize my own hypocrisy. I ignored my own cowardice, conveniently hiding behind a position of political compromise. And for what? To retain the meager wealth and rank that men desire. So I come before you a condemned man for having finally stood up to injustice. My shame and regret is that I failed to do so before it arrived in my own court. We supply the armies. We build the roads. We employ the nation. Still, we remain silent while our coffers are emptied and our freedoms eroded. There will be times where we are powerless to injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.